Okay, pretend intro song. Do, 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 do.
No, that's the actual intro song.
I know. I mean, I'm pretty much going to leave it there. All right, boom. Since we don't actually have one of those, welcome to our new podcast, Spoilers and Snapbacks, because we watch TV in hats. Okay, so you're here with the twins. I am BP.
And I'm Michelle.
It's funny because lately people like actually think I mean that, because I just call you twin when I'm like talking to people about stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, me and twin are doing this thing, or I'm going to visit twin. And they're like, somebody was like, I can't even imagine what it's like to have a twin. And I'm like, oh, me neither. I'm an only child. Like, no idea what that's like. But yeah, we met at Dragon Con about a little over a year ago, and kind of were pulled together originally by Wynonna Earp and then The Hundred, or The Hundy, as it is more lovingly or upsettingly called at this point. And then, yeah, we just started to figure out we kind of had a lot in common with shows and, I mean, basically just everything. And we like to spiral, and we're going to start spiraling here about the shows that we're watching or things we've watched in the past or just TV in general. But we're also going to talk to you about what hats we're wearing. So what are you wearing today, Mick?
I'm wearing my junky snapback that I've started wearing whenever I work out or do anything that like requires me to like sweat or whatever, so I don't actually ruin a good hat, but I still am wearing a hat.
I have on what my friend has lovingly bestowed as my space cat hat, just because it has space all over it. There are no actual cats, but that's what she named it, and that has stuck. So yeah, when we get our Twitter set up, we can post pictures of the hats that we're wearing. I'm not going to be in the picture. I haven't showered, but I will show you a picture of my hat.
I had already seen a picture of your hat, but when you called it the space cat hat, I like went back. I was like, is there cats on here somewhere? How did I know?
Oh my God. You know better. I freaking hate cats.
That's why I was confused.
Yeah. I had to go look that up though. Apparently it's some kind of like meme thing.
Yeah, it is.
And then when I saw the background, I was like, okay, yeah, that kind of makes sense. But yeah, no cats on my hats or anything else. No cats in hats, around hats. Just, no, I'm allergic, so.
I like how you went Dr. Seuss for a second.
I mean, I felt like I had to. It was just right there.
I mean, it's pretty much like lobbed right to you.
Why me?
You set yourself up for that.
Way to get that punchline, kid. You did it. Okay, so on this first episode, we're just going to talk a little bit about our background in television, you know, because we're so closely related to the industry, and why it's important to us, what some of our favorite things are, so you guys can see if this is some sort of journey of madness you like to come along on with us. Mostly, we're just going to have conversations with ourselves, and you can listen to them if you want to, but we're just going to pretend we're the only ones here because we are. And I'm going to cut that.
There's no one else here, BP.
That was super weird. Okay, so I have a list of questions. I told Michelle beforehand that I'm pretending this is like audience questions, but it's not. It's just a Word document I wrote before we started.
A Word document that you wrote just before we started of the questions that you have been thinking about for 2 weeks and didn't tell me until, let's see, this document was made 9 minutes ago.
Right. So I've had 2 weeks to prep about my potential answers, and Michelle has had 9 minutes. So let's see which one of us sounds more prepared.
Watch me just blow you out of the park with this.
I was going to say it's going to be you. And then I'm just going to be like, I fucking quit, man.
Rage quit episode one.
Yeah. I'm still posting it, though.
Obviously.
Okay. So here we go, diving into things that might get uncomfortable very quickly.
Might
meaning most assuredly will. So why is TV such a large part of your life?
I have to answer this first.
Yeah, because I asked it, so it'd be awkward if I just kept talking.
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to you. Okay, all right, fine. Why is TV such a large part of my life? I don't like people, and I can watch TV and not have to interact with them. That's like the super, super dumb high level answer.
Does it feel like you are interacting with people? And so you feel like you get that socialization?
Yes. Ask me about TV characters and I can talk for years. No, I think TV's a huge part of my life was because I went through like some hard times, and like losing myself in TV really helped. And then also TV or like storytelling in general, like you can actually learn a lot about like people and the world. Like TV shows are like extreme situations, but like the issues and stuff that they talk about and like the interpersonal relationships, like they all reflect reality. So you can actually learn a lot. And I think it actually helped me in like navigating the world a bit better when I started watching tons of TV.
Yeah, I get that. I get that for sure. And I know, like, I mean, I've also, you know, been at different times like a reader and stuff, but depression has sometimes made it pretty difficult to actually focus on something like that. So when you turn on a show, it kind of keeps going with or without you.
Yeah.
And can sometimes make it a little more engaging. That can also lead to the opposite effect of just like, wait, what just happened? But I think when I got into low periods, that's when I started to really get it. That's a lie. I've been in a TV since I was 5 years old. And probably before then, I just don't remember. I don't know like how it happened. I've just been always like really fascinated with different characters and like memorizing lines and making connections between things and being like, oh, well, they did this on here and they did that on there. And I didn't know what a trope was, you know, obviously, but I just thought I just have kind of that mathematical brain that always finds connections in things and like underlying problems / themes, whatever. And that was always just like super fascinating to me.
That is like my favorite thing to do. Like whether it's like, it's really like consuming any sort of story, whether it be reading it or watching TV or a movie. Like if I could make a career out of like talking about and analyzing TV, I would do that in a heartbeat because like, I mean, I think that's something I'd actually enjoy.
As long as I don't have to write anything down because I'll get paralyzed.
I can sometimes write about it, but it's so difficult for me to like the jumble of thoughts that are in my head. Like it's difficult for me to put them down in like a linear fashion that makes sense.
Don't you have like serial killer notebooks?
Yes, they are serial killer notebooks. So they don't make sense. Like it's
that's my point. Yeah. It's just like rage scribbles about what you're watching.
I have. Yeah. I like my one like crazy notebook. It's probably like a 300 page like notebook that is completely full from just Pretty Little Liars.
Wow.
And some of it's like pages of just like rambling or like theorizing, and others are like charts and like it's insane.
For anyone that doesn't know us, I feel like when they hear the totality of like the rest of your TV like resume, Pretty Little Liars is going to be like slightly surprising to them.
Yep.
No sense in fighting that one.
Not denying it. It's pretty. Yeah, that's spot on.
Okay. What's the first show you're ever obsessed with?
That is like super difficult for me to remember because, well, okay. No, you know what? Okay. The answer is Pretty Little Liars.
Seriously? It's so recent.
So I liked, this is like before the internet, like was like social media was like a thing, but like, I really liked Grey's Anatomy when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't necessarily obsessed with it. Maybe I was, I don't remember a lot from when I was younger.
I've never seen an episode of Grey's Anatomy. And I said, a few years ago, I was like, I put it on my Netflix list and I was like, oh, I'll just watch it when it's over. But now it's like 15, 16, some seasons or some crap. And I'm like, yeah, I'm out, buddy. Like, there's no way I'm committing to that.
I had to stop watching. I feel like it was, I don't know when it came out, but I really wanted to have like my show, like the show that I always watch. And I just randomly picked Grey's Anatomy and I didn't hate it. So I went along with it and watched it for a very long time. Like, didn't miss episodes. Like, I really enjoyed it. But, like, I realized in retrospect, like, the one thing that kept me, like, watching the show was Meredith and Christina's friendship. And, like, as soon as, like, they started to, like, destroy that relationship because Sandra Oh wanted to leave the show, I was like, I can't watch this garbage anymore. What the fuck is this show?
Aww.
So, yeah, apparently I was only in it for them. And it may have been because I didn't realize it, but I was shipping it really hard, but didn't have any idea of it at the time.
What that meant. This is probably a good time, even though it's like in our title, to mention that spoilers are pretty much on the table for anything that gets brought up. What's my general rule? Anything that aired a year or more ago, it's kind of just there. And I'll try, like when we go through and do timestamps and stuff mention like the shows we are talking about. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to try to be the spoiler police. So, you know, everybody has to listen at their own risk.
Also, if there's something really bad, if we don't cut it, we can just bleep over it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If we like really cross a line, I'll make some really funky noises. Well, I mean, I won't make them, but I'll put funky noises in it.
You'll insert weird shit.
Exactly. But yeah, we'll anytime we're talking about like a single TV show or especially a particular episode or something, like I'll always label those. But in general, though, we're not sitting here thinking like, oh, I wonder if someone has seen this or not. So, I mean, we put it right in the name because not because we're rude, just because we don't think a lot.
If we said that there weren't going to be spoilers, we would end up having to cut 95% of the content.
It's true. It's true. And maybe that would make for better content, but who can say?
Just an intro and an outro. Nothing in the middle.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. Yay. I should cut. That's the intro right there. I'm going to go ahead and put that back in.
Perfect.
So let's see. The first show I was ever completely obsessed with was The Simpsons. And that started when I was 5 years old. The show started when I was five. And my parents didn't realize it like wasn't for kids. So they were actually very strict when I was growing up about like what I got to watch. And when I got to watch it, like my younger cousins would be watching like Terminator. And I was mad because like my parents wouldn't let me watch it because it was rated R or whatever. But yeah, that was not to say that The Simpsons and The Terminator are remotely connected in their level of appropriateness. But that was one that somehow slid. And by the time they kind of realized that I shouldn't be watching it, it was like too late. So I have now watched that show for 30 years. And as you can imagine, just like over the last 30 years, I have passed my prime. So has the show. And I wish both of us would just have series finales at this point.
Well, that just took a turn.
Yeah, it did. Oh, man. P.S. I'm bipolar, and I sometimes make jokes that might resemble. They're not jokes. It's not a joke. It's just a anything's pretty on brand. Like, I would be dead if I didn't laugh in my life, so some of the topics I laugh about are not always super great.
Yeah, so we're called the twins for a reason, so everything she just said, yeah. Ditto.
Yeah. Let's see. And then, so over time, though, I have my list because it took me forever, and I'm sure I'm going to miss something and I'll be mad about it, but it's not like anyone here is fact-checking my life, so 90210 was the big one for me in middle school. The original 90210, of course. I used to record that on straight-up VCR and watch it every single day when I got home.
There's been more than one 90210?
Yes, they rebooted it a few years ago. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
I obviously just ignored its existence.
Can we please talk about how they're rebooting everything? Because I'm, like, not okay with that.
Yeah. They're just... If something is, like, really, really good, like, why are you going to go back and try and, like, fuck with it?
Just leave it be, right? I mean, I don't know. Maybe some of the stuff coming out, like, has potential. I'm not sure. But, I mean, this feels like the year for reboots. I mean, they're rebooting... Charmed. They've already announced Buffy is getting some sort of reboot. Now, if that one's just in the same universe, like, I'm cool with it. But if they actually try to reboot that character, like, why would you do that?
My thing about, like, these reboots, because it seems like the Charmed reboot isn't, like, actually a reboot. It's, like a continuation or, like, a next generation type thing based off of what I've read. But don't call it Charmed. Like, call it, like, something else.
Yeah, make these things more like spin-offs than reboots if that's what you're gonna do.
And I think that the same thing is going for the Buffy one. I don't know how you would like coin the name for it, because like you can't just do like Buffy colon like, well, you could actually just do like Buffy colon like the next class, like something like that.
No, don't even put a word, just call it Buffy colon. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you're going like X-Men, like first class, like, Buffy, like next class.
Like the new class. I don't know. But like, don't call it Buffy because like, just stop. Don't do it.
Just call it like the Slayer and move on with your life.
Yeah.
Or Slayers, or like, you know,
but
some of the stuff out of the comics, like, isn't there one called like Frey or something? Like, you know,
I have not touched those comics, so I do not know.
Me either. I just made that up. Literally made it up. Why don't you call it Faith? And I don't know, resurrect that character.
I would be so here for that.
I'm still mad at Eliza Dushku for like not agreeing to take on that role on a spinoff.
Yep.
Although we did get Dollhouse, but it just didn't last long enough.
I haven't watched Dollhouse, which is really weird considering who's in the cast.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
I don't like TV shows that like actually end, if that makes sense. It took me like 5 years to watch the Buffy series finale.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, that show, like, it ends, but it ends like pretty abruptly because it's only 2 seasons and they just got canceled.
Yeah, because they had a shitty time slot.
Yeah.
No, it's on my list. It definitely is. Because, I mean, honestly, who on that show would I not want to watch?
It's a great show. It really is. Everybody on it is fantastic.
But I think I would have been more into a Faith spinoff.
Totally. Did you ever watch True Calling?
No.
That was the show she did before that.
I haven't really seen a ton of her stuff. Because I feel like, this maybe polarizing opinion, I feel like she can play one character. And she plays that character super, super well.
Then why wouldn't you watch the rest of her shows? That's my point.
Well, she did one recently where she wasn't that character. And I was super excited for it. I don't remember what it was called. But I was just like, this isn't right.
Yeah, that doesn't seem okay.
What are you trying to do here?
Let's see. True Calling, like her name was True. It was T-R-U, not like the word True. It was kind of like iZombie in a weird way. Like she worked in like a morgue, and what would happen is when she touched a body, she would like see how they died.
Like pushing daisies?
And then she would like go back in time and she would try to prevent their death. It was interesting.
I don't know what the name of that trope is, but you could tell a really good story using it.
You can. But the other one that was in it, and I felt like this is where it got weird, was Jason Priestley was also in it. And he kind of came on. So it turned into, you know, like a fate versus choice thing, because her perception was that people should be saved. And his perception was that things should happen the way they happened. So she wanted to save people and he wanted them to die. Not that he like wanted to kill people, but if that was what was happening, he thought that it should stay that way.
Interesting.
But it was Jason Priestley, so no offense, but
that makes it less interesting. But
yeah, I was like, eh, okay. But
the premise sounds interesting.
Because I feel like he can also play one character, and it's not that character.
Yep.
What else? Like late high school, early college for me was Dawson's Creek. You're younger than me, so you probably missed that one.
It was on. I like saw it. But I had like that type of show didn't interest me at that point in time.
That's fair. Because it's on now, like it streams, and I honestly cannot imagine ever going back and like watching that ever again. But I was obsessed with it for a minute. I didn't get into Buffy until the last season that it was on, and it was like my second year of college, and it was on TV like every day in the middle of the day running the reruns. So like either right before or right in the middle of season 7, I watched all 6 seasons before that because of the magical invention of TiVo back in 2002. I'm not saying that's when they invented TiVo. I just meant that's when I got it. And now we have discourse about the creation of TiVo. No, I don't know when it was made, but it changed my life. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no, the thing about my like TV history is that like I can't really like timeline it, because in all honesty, I didn't. Like, I watched a lot of TV when I was – okay, so when I was younger, my mom didn't want me and my brother watching anything that was, like, remotely violent. So, like, I wasn't allowed to watch the Power Rangers. So pretty much I spent, like, the majority of my, like, adolescence just, like, being able to watch PBS.
Okay.
If you want to talk about some old school PBS – well, not old school, but, like, decently aged PBS at this point, like, I'm here for that. Just because that was the only thing I was able to watch for so long. So I was pretty sheltered for the majority of my life because my mom didn't want my brother or I growing up to be like violent kids or this or that. I think it may have backfired on her part, but
I was going to say, Maybe if she gave you like a mild exposure, you wouldn't be where you are now.
You make it sound like I'm a serial killer.
I mean, you have the notebooks.
Okay, fair enough. So I didn't watch a lot of TV. So like I didn't watch Buffy or Angel. Like One Tree Hill was on, but I think that like an episode that I turned on was one of the ones that had like gun violence, so it was pretty frowned upon. So yeah, that episode. So yeah, I didn't have much exposure to TV. So like when I was like allowed to watch Grey's Anatomy, it's like prime time TV during the week. That was like a big deal. But then when I was in high school, I went through some shit and wasn't interested in much of anything for a very long time. So then when I was in college and I was on my own, I discovered all the TV. And since then, I haven't stopped watching. I watch so much. It's so unhealthy.
Yeah.
So like Buffy, One Tree Hill, Charmed. I'm looking at your list. Bones. Friday Night Lights, the CSIs, the few shows that I'm really obsessed with that I'll bring up later. Like all of those, like I discovered them all in like one big chunk of time.
I almost want to like revoke access to my list since you're now just like taking all of my quality content here.
I mean, I just like, I haven't talked about any of those things. I've seen all of them.
I'm just kidding.
But yeah, no, like my list, I have when I put it together really quickly in less than 10 minutes, I have like childhood ... And then it was like college, all of the TV.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. When I was little though, I loved the Transformer cartoon from like early 90s and also G.I. Joe from the early 90s cartoon as well. But again, you're younger than me. What are you, 27 now? Okay. So I'm like 8 years older than you.
I watched SpongeBob and I watched Sabrina when I was younger. PBS, SpongeBob, Sabrina, done.
Speaking of Sabrina, that is another reboot that's coming out, but it looks like it's going to be super, super dark. What are your thoughts?
I listened to a podcast called A Storm of Spoilers, and Joanna Robinson, who is a TV writer who often shows up on Buffering the Vampire Slayer podcast, she actually has seen it, and she said that it's technically like the same character, but it's super dark, and it's like not comparable to the TGIF version. So like, don't imagine it being that and just go in with like it being like a fresh new character. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to it.
Would you say that Melissa Joan might have a heart attack?
Oh my. Podcast canceled. It's done.
I know. I'm sorry. I was just there. That was the worst. I'll own it.
You know, you don't always have to pick the low hanging fruit.
But I don't, you though? I don't like clutter. That's all it is.
Fair enough.
Oh, man. Yeah, I honestly don't know if I could watch it, though, because it kind of looks scary. And I don't really do that because I already have, like, PTSD and horrific nightmares. So I don't need, content for new ones.
I enjoy watching things that terrify me a little bit, unless it has dolls involved, in which case, fuck that noise. Or clowns.
Oh my god, fuck that noise. What even, like, whoever thought that was a good idea for either, like, good or bad, that we should have clowns and porcelain dolls? Like, no. I would like to speak to this person.
I usually have my TV set to sci-fi, because it's, I think, the most entertaining channel. But sometimes I'll, like, turn it on, and they'll be showing, like, fucking Annabelle, but I'll, like, turn on the TV while doing other stuff, and I, like, walk back into the living room, and there's, like, a fucking, like, demonic doll on my TV, and, like... Sometimes I'm like, I just want to leave the house. Like, I'm done. Like, Opal, we're getting in the car and we're never coming back.
Diving for the remote. Oh, man. It's true, though. Yeah, I can't do either one of those things. What, like, what the fuck is up with clowns? Like, why is that a thing?
I mean, like clowns. Clowns. I just don't like when somebody's in, like, complete disguise like that.
Okay.
And also, like, it kind of is, like, creepy. Like face paint and whatnot. It's a little bit weird. But I think it's just like, it's like the same reason that like the internet is kind of like a bad thing, because like you can't really be identified if you don't want to be. So like you can be creepy, and it's just like knowing that that person, like I don't know who that clown is. It's like they could be a murderer psychopath. I don't know, but I don't know.
I mean, I assume that they are. I don't. I don't have any other guesses about their identity.
Yeah, I said something about clowns on Twitter once and somebody jumped in and they're like, I actually was a clown for X number of years and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, eek, I'm just going to step away. Because I don't want to insult anybody, but also like now I'm maybe low-key scared of you.
For real. Yeah, no thanks. Okay, so we were talking earlier. Yeah, Bones was one of my favorite shows for a long time. So I have a tendency, not that I want to give up on things, but I more fall in the camp of like, let's shorten these things and tell an amazing story, like rather than, okay, the ratings are still high. Let's just see if we can keep going. That's not my sweet spot. I'd rather you have a plan and a story and tell it. And of course that was more procedural than anything. So it's one of those kinds of things where you can do that. But over time, that's really become something that is not valuable to me. You and I were talking about a little bit earlier because I somehow just like magically remembered this and popped it on my list. The Dresden Files I loved. And I know it was a series of books. I never read them. It was only one season long, but I thought it was really cool. And I wish there was more of it. And even though that's not along the same time frame, also Warehouse 13 was a show that I loved.
I never watched the Dresden Files TV show, but I have I listened to the audiobooks of the entire, well, not all of it. I'm almost there. And it's narrated by Spike from Buffy.
Shut up.
He doesn't actually have an English accent, but...
No, he doesn't.
But yeah, he narrates it.
I still love him.
Oh yeah, no, he's great. James Marsters, something like that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no, he narrates them. I really enjoyed them. They're good stories, except for the beginning of every single book is just like exposition hour for a while, and it makes me want to rip my hair out. But aside from that...
When you're doing the audiobook, it's literally exposition hour.
Well, because like you technically could pick up any of those books and just jump in. So at the beginning of it, he needs to like run through the mythology real quick. And the author is not great at being subtle about that. It's just like chapter one. It could just be bullet points. You don't need to try and make it a narrative. Just bullet points. These are the rules. And now let's jump into the story.
Exactly. Yeah. Here's how it all works. Boom, boom, bang. Let's go.
But that's beside the point.
I was super, super into vampires, like right after college, but not like Twilight. That's not vampires.
You don't care for sparkly vampires?
Oh, gosh. No, I don't.
That are prone to abusive relationships.
I was super into like Anne Rice, like reading all her books. And now I don't know. But Blood Ties was a show that came on that I thought was incredible. And I think it was only one or two seasons, but it was really, really good. And the other one, oh my gosh, Blade, the series, I loved. So this sounds dumb because I'm like, I don't watch scary things. But for some reason, there's like certain things that I can and certain that I just can't.
Well, there are certain things that are, I mean, everybody finds something different scary.
True.
Like, I can watch, like, I've seen all the Conjuring movies, except for Annabelle, that fucking doll.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a funny story. I think I went to see my friend came from Chicago to come visit just so that we could see The Conjuring 2 together. And I think that's the movie where Annabelle makes its first, like, cameo. And both of us hate dolls, so, like, we're enjoying the movie and it's great. And then that happened, and both of us just, like, jumped out of our chairs and we're like, nope.
Did you guys leave?
No, but we maybe had a rudely loud discussion about whether we should.
The only movie I've ever walked out of was Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah. The thing that like gore is gross just because it's like, it's like torture porn. Like, I don't need to see that. But like things that scare me more are like movies that is like psychologically scary.
See, and those I can watch.
See, I can't, like, those fuck me up. But I can watch something that's just, like, ghosts are haunting a place and things jump out and scare you. Like, yeah, I'll jump and, like, you know, have the adrenaline spike of it, which is half the point. But it's not going to, like, send me home and, like, fuck me up for, like, weeks. Like, something psychological would.
Yeah. There is one episode of My Favorite Murder that has actually kind of changed the way that I live my life.
Which was?
I don't know if you remember it, but it was the one about, like, the spider dude that, like, lived in the attic.
Oh, yeah. I, like, remember every single one of their episodes. Like, yeah, no thanks.
Well, every single night before I go to bed, I go into my closet and look up around and, like, make sure the attic door has not been, like, jostled or anything. Like, it's literally become a part of my routine now because I'm afraid that there is a creeper, like, dude living in my attic.
Yeah, no, I check all the floors before I leave. I also check all the floors when I get home.
That's fair.
It started when I came home one day and the TV was on and the remote was like on like a shelf that Opal couldn't reach. And I freaked the fuck out. I like checked my entire house, like with like my pocket knife, like in my hand, like I will stab a bitch. Like, who's in my house? There was no one there, but.
Yeah, I probably would have spazzed. Although I would know like logically that maybe like the power flashed and it made it come on.
I assume that the power flashed, but it's still like when you expect to come home to like it being silent and your dog at the door, Opal didn't rush towards the door. Like the entire situation was just freaky.
Oh, I would 100% lose my shit. Like the logical side of me would be like the power probably flickered. It's fine. And then the other side of me would be like, I'm going to die in the next 7 seconds.
It's like
I also have to check my shower every night. Every night. Don't know why.
I don't close the shower curtain thing because it scares me.
Oh, yeah. I don't close it either. But when I walk from my bedroom, like over to the toilet, like there's a piece of it because there's a door that opens there too. You can't see. So I always have to walk in and like look around it and make sure it's that podcast might not be the best thing I could have done for myself, but I just love it so fucking much that I don't care.
I like how like we've just been like saying stuff and the other being like, exactly. Yes. Almost as if we weren't twins.
Weird. Okay, so what are some of your favorite, like, more recent shows?
Person of Interest, The Hundy, Legends of Tomorrow, PLO. Okay. I think those are the top four.
What is your, like, can you name an all-time favorite?
Person of Interest.
Well, oh yeah, I don't even know why I asked you that.
Like, why are you asking me that? Oh, people that don't know me at all who might be listening to this. Person of Interest, it's the best show ever. Like, fight me on that.
What's your favorite episode?
If Then Else.
Which is episode
411.
So, yeah, anyone that wants to know what Michelle is all about, 411 of Person of Interest is basically her religion.
Hold on, let me double check. I haven't, like, had to recall an episode in a while.
Wow. Is it really your favorite?
Oh, yeah. No, that is right. They show Person of Interest, like, on, like WGN America or I don't know what, at night. And so I'll, like, always turn it on. And I can identify, like, which episode it is based off of, like, 5 seconds.
This is not a surprise to me.
No. No. Somebody was jokingly calling me out on Twitter because I couldn't remember the episode title. And I was like, oh, my God, I actually can't. And it was actually very embarrassing for me because I pride myself on knowing everything about that show.
Oh, what show made you join Twitter? Or is that why you joined?
Pretty Little Liars.
Okay, I just assume the only reason people get on Twitter is for television. I don't know what else they're doing out there.
Oh, yeah, no, I thought Twitter was really, really stupid. I still think Twitter's really, really stupid, but I also
oh, it's the worst
all the time.
Totally obsessed. Yep.
Yeah. No, that was the show that did it.
Mine was The 100. It's much more recent. I don't think I joined until like the beginning of last year. Yeah, that was the first one I came into, and that was my first foray and experience with fandom, and wow, that's one to a baptism by fire.
When did you jump in? 2017?
That's when I joined Twitter.
Oh my God. Talk about jumping into a fandom amidst like a nuclear apocalypse.
It's true. Yeah, the fandom was the show. It was the same thing. Like,
holy shit.
Everywhere you look, you might get shot. It's the same.
I feel like actually like the mortality rate of the fandom was worse than the actual show.
Oh, absolutely. But like maybe percentage wise, it was the same.
Maybe.
If you count the cullings.
Oh, all the fucking cullings. Yeah, actually, no. Yeah. And the genocides and the missiles.
Yeah, then. Yeah, that's the fandom.
Yeah. No, the ratios might be spot on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The last few years before that, let's see. Oh, Orphan Black. How is that not even on my list? See, I've been making this list for like 2 weeks and I still can't remember stuff.
Orphan Black's on my list.
Orphan Black is definitely one of my favorites.
I think the thing that makes Orphan Black such a great like TV show overall was that the creators of it like came in and I don't know if it was right from the get-go or whatever, but they like told the network like 5 seasons.
Yep.
We have a show. 5 seasons is the story we're going to tell. 5 seasons. And it was one of the first shows, like, they didn't have, like, the best, like, ratings or viewership.
No.
But
it was very cult following.
It was, yeah, extremely cult following. But the thing was that they engaged with the fandom and like incorporated them into the show and like let them use like their media to like make gifs and not like pull it down off the internet like a bunch of jackasses.
Right.
Like, they were the first show that did that. And I think that's really what helped keep it on. But I really like it because they came in and they're like, this is the story we're going to tell. And when it was over, it was over. They weren't like, oh, but people are still watching, so let's tack on 5 more seasons where we don't know what the fuck we're doing. And you know what? In the end, why don't we just blow up the world? Wait, I might be projecting.
Like, I'm really struggling to think of any show that you might be referring to. Just, like, I feel like it's right on the tip of my tongue, but I just can't get there.
I don't know what you're talking about. That was just a generalization.
I have so much respect for that. It is definitely because of what Let's Be Nice and call the foibles of certain shows recently, where I am garnering so much respect for a plan. Don't do it, you know, for ratings or there are certain, you know, there are certain stories that can be stretched, but at least have an idea of where you're going. And I think on some things that have been on recently, it's just like, okay, you have no idea what you're doing here.
Yeah. Like,
and it's obvious that you don't watch your own show. And
it, like, have a rough idea of what you want to do. Like, you don't need to have it like completely planned out because you have to be able to adapt, but also have a plan. Don't just be like, oh, we have this great first season and then we'll figure it out after that and have no idea where to go. Also, I think that procedurals need to stop.
Agreed. 100%.
I'm over it. Like, I mean, I'm biased, but like Person of Interest started out as a procedural and it was okay when it was like that. It wasn't great. And then when the like writers like stealth transformed it into a show that had like a running plot line that was slowly taking over the procedural, the network didn't like it, but the fans did.
Yeah, the show was like infinitely better when that happened. And that's when I started to learn what genre television was, even though I had been watching it like my whole life. Yeah. But sci-fi for real, like that, the mythology of that show was like what made it incredible. Well, that and like Root, obviously, but the mythology of the show is like what gave it life. I mean, you know me, when you had me watch it, I struggled through the first season so hard.
The first season is rough. I really enjoy watching the first season now, but I've already watched the series like 6 times. So like I pick up on stuff. I find different things interesting. The first time around, the first season was the worst thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, when you have the thing that people don't realize is that even if you start off shaky, when you, and I'm not saying they did, I'm just talking in general, when you have a plan that you end up executing, it can actually elevate the rest of your series. And my specific example for that, which I'm trying to sell to you again, is 12 Monkeys.
Dude, I'm going to watch it. I swear. It's not that I don't like it.
But my point is, though, the first season of 12 Monkeys is like not the best.
Like that one dude bro who just keeps popping up and it's kind of annoying every single time. You know, the main character.
Oh, my gosh. You know, that guy that's like in every episode for some reason. Oh my gosh. Yeah, but that is a show, seriously, where their first season is like not as strong and you're just kind of like, okay, where's this going? If I had been watching it live, I don't know that I would have continued. But I watched it like, I think in the middle of season 3, I watched seasons 1 and 2 or the beginning of season 3. I don't know, either way. And I remember thinking to myself, like, I'm not sure if I can continue with this because they needed a wider mythology. Because obviously 12 Monkeys is based on the movie 12 Monkeys from 95. It's not so much based. In fact, they did not want to base it on the show. It was supposed to just be an homage. It was originally called Splinter. But the network thought they could, you know, throw the name behind it and help to garner a bigger audience. And so they had them change it to 12 Monkeys and such as that. So the first season follows a lot more of like the overall like plot line of trying to stop a plague that happens. Like a guy's coming from the future and he's coming back to stop a plague.
Yes.
And
it's very droll.
That Well, this was when I developed, and I'm sure there's some sort of terminology for it that I don't care to look up. But this is when I developed, I didn't develop the frustration, but I named the frustration of attempting to watch something with a closed premise. And what I mean by that when I say it is you have a show that has a goal, and you know that if you meet that goal, it's over. Which means you know you're not going to meet that goal so long as the show continues to air. And when I got towards the end of season one, I was just like, oh my gosh, like if they don't find a way to open up this in some sort of way, like I'm not going to watch multiple seasons of you trying to stop a play.
I think that's actually why I couldn't finish the first season of 12 Monkeys was because like they obviously weren't going to solve the issue, but like main character guy just like kept popping in and making it seem super dramatic, but it's like it was destined to fail.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I don't know what the point of this is. Like, you're going to die. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, you have to continue, though, because there was a plan, and the next season and every season after that actually elevates the show, and it shows, like, I honestly have never seen a show that was more well-planned than that one when you get to the end. And when you listen to the creators talk about it and the writers, like, they cared about their material. They watched their material. They wrote down their material so they would remember when they were doing callbacks and it would be, like, effective.
Oh, my God. They had a plan?
I mean, what? Even? And so when you get all the way to the end, but that's to, like, return to the original point, like you said, with Person of Interest. When you rewatch the first season in the context of understanding what happens, it like becomes a whole different journey for you, which is really cool.
Also, I would also like to defend myself and say I was watching 12 Monkeys and then I got this random idea to binge watch all of Person of Interest in 12 days and it kind of took over my life. So I kind of forgot about 12 Monkeys.
I'm not sure that's like a defense. But
I mean,
okay,
it's maybe not a defense. That's my justification for it. Something else came up and it kind of hasn't stopped being a very big part of my life.
That's literally everyone's justification for everything. Okay.
Something else came up. It's been like going on like 3 years and it's still, you know, pretty much taken up a lot of my life. So
yeah,
eventually that will calm down and I will be able to watch 12 Monkeys.
Well, I did watch, I think part of the third season live, maybe, I don't know, but I definitely watched the fourth season live this year. And the ending is incredible. It's definitely one of the best series finales I have ever seen. That it literally in the totality of the show, like catapulted to number one for me. That is, it's now like by far my favorite show. Which is interesting because, like you said, sometimes you start something off and you're like, eh, okay, what we'll see, you know, potentially have like a tenuous relationship with it. And then it can morph over time. And that can go the opposite way as well.
Yeah, I can think of a few instances of shows that I'm still, well, kind of hate watching at this point for that exact reason. Yeah.
Oh, two random shows I just thought of, not in the vein of that at all. I'm just looking back at my list. Shows that I love. Elementary, which is actually still kind of a procedural, but I just love it. I love that they made Watson a female. It's really cool. And Sherlock, even though I know a lot of people are not fans of Benedict Cumberbatch, that was actually an incredible series.
Is it done?
It is, yeah.
Okay. I really liked the first season a ton. The second season was good. There were only three seasons, right? Or four?
Four.
Mm-hmm. The third and fourth seasons were garbage. Sorry.
You don't have to apologize to me. I didn't make it.
I mean, not to you, to anybody who thinks those seasons are amazing.
Oh, I liked them. But yeah, I would probably agree that the first season was the best.
Let's see. Looking at my list here. I just started watching the new season of American Horror Story. Apocalypse this time around. And I couldn't watch the last season, American Horror Story Cult, because it was a little too real. That entered that like psychological like mind fuckery that I couldn't really deal with.
Yeah.
But this one looks promising. I'll ramble to you about it more as more of it airs, but the premiere was pretty good.
Okay. I know that Adina Porter is on that show and she's awesome.
I know. I always forget that she's on that series. And then I was watching like the credits and I saw her name and I was just kind of like, oh, fuck yes, Indra.
She was one of the very, very best. Well, has always been one of the greatest things on the 100 since she was started on there. Love her.
She is like, she's probably the best of them. Like, out of all the people on that show, she's probably like the one like who deserves to not be completely miserable all the time.
She's it's kind of interesting though, given how she started off and she's just like, kill everybody. But she actually, I feel like she's true north now and I don't even know what everybody else is doing.
Like she has like heart in a way that isn't like it's just consistent. Like she has her like values and she understands like survival. And so she follows her own like law with regards to all that.
Mm-hmm.
And like there are like if she is going to protect her people, she'll do what she needs to do to protect her people. And then she's not going to run off into the woods for 3 months and sulk.
Again, I don't understand what you're talking about. Oh man. Okay. So you know what show I loved though, which I don't know that it was like super scary, but because it was more like Buffy level of horror, was Grimm. Did you ever watch that?
I did not, but the promos always looked interesting.
Grimm was good. Grimm was really good. It was like, you know, fairy tales like turned on their head. Well, it's actually more like the original versions of fairy tales, the Grimm fairy tales.
I was going to say I have a huge book of Grimm fairy tales. I feel like the show was probably just following along with the book.
Oh, yeah, basically, because it would actually like the way that it would open up every time was to take like a small quote out of like whichever story. And then it would build onto that. So but he was like a cop. So and it was kind of procedural in a way too, but there was always a bigger story going on. And I think to some degree, like serialized television almost has to be procedural, like in its underpinning, you know, because you have to be able to have an episode that almost stands alone.
I think it depends on like the type of story you're telling, but yes, you do need to be able to have an episode that isn't purely plot driven, but it still fits within the story.
Yeah, obviously, there are tons of shows that I love that I wouldn't call procedural, but there has to be just kind of like a baseline of this is kind of where we're going and we're going to weave our mythology like in and out of this thing.
Unless you're Game of Thrones, in which case they're like each episode's going to be a full length movie and we're just going to punch you in the face with plot because we don't have a lot of episodes, you guys. And George R. R. Martin's never going to finish the books, so...
He is not going to do that. He is just like over it.
Oh, yeah. He's not. No, it's not happening. I just really desperately don't want Patrick Rothfuss to fall into that trap with the Name of the Wind books.
You lost me, but I hope that doesn't happen.
I just realized that I was not talking to my work bestie. Oh, man. Anyway, forgot where I was for a second.
It happens. It's okay. Other shows, let's see, Lost. I did like Lost. I am of the camp, though, that I did not like the finale. I don't want to discuss that, but I just didn't.
I quit it in, like, season two or three.
Yeah, I don't think that they, I whatever, I don't even want to discuss it. It was good when it was good, in my opinion. But it did kind of open up, you know, J.J. Abrams, and I loved Fringe, which he was on after that. Or at least sometime in between. What am I acting like? I'm like a fucking like scholar of when things occurred. I have like a timeline. I don't know. Fringe was awesome is what I'm getting at.
I enjoyed it.
It was a really, really good show. I think people don't talk about it enough.
I didn't finish it, but what I did watch, I really enjoyed.
You don't finish a lot of stuff though. So I wouldn't necessarily count that for or against a show.
No, not at all. I just sometimes reach points where like if like a character that I really like is like killed off or starts acting a way that like I don't really want to see, I will stop a show. And then there are some shows where I just can't no matter how much I want to,
just can't quit. So a couple other things that made my list that I hadn't thought about recently and now I really, really want to watch or rewatch is Leverage. And that was because of a specific scene in 12 Monkeys that somebody brought to my attention recently. And I'm like, man, I miss Leverage so much.
I don't know how that show's not on my list. I rewatch it every single year.
It's so good.
It's so, so good. Damn.
And that's more of a procedural in itself, but God, it's just so fun. Like everything about it is so great.
I can deal with a procedural that doesn't take itself seriously.
Yes, that's exactly what I was getting at. Like, it's not, you know, dark and like, and there is an overarching premise, but more than anything, it's just fun. And like, they're so smart and they're always, you know, screwing over people who deserve it. And so it's just really, it's cool to watch, I think.
It's like, if I'm going to watch a procedural, I want it to be like Leverage, where it's like funny and like actually entertaining, not depressing, like ever really. And it's like, it's just fun. I don't need, you know, a like CSI, like flipping down my sunglasses and saying some sort of horrible line before we dive into like super serious plot. Super serious plot. Somebody got killed. It's fine.
It's fine. Whatever.
But yeah, no, Leverage. I always forget about that until I don't forget about it. And then I have to rewatch the entire
show. I know. Then I'm like obsessed with it for the next little bit. And then next time someone asks me what TV shows I love, like, I'm like, I don't know. And then someone says Leverage eventually. And I'm like, holy shit, I fucking love that show.
That actually, like, the same conversation happened with me and a friend. She was over at my house and we were watching Person of Interest, as you do.
Sure.
And like in my queue, like watch it again, like Leverage popped up. And she was like, oh my God, Leverage. And then we ended up watching Leverage.
Because it's amazing. Because
apparently everybody loves it. They just forget that they love it constantly.
I know. How weird is that? Like, that is definitely a show where I find that's true. Like, nobody will say it in a back and forth. And then somehow it comes up and everybody is like, hell yeah, that's a good one.
That's such a good show.
Nobody does that with like Dexter.
Ugh.
God, I hated how that ended.
I stopped watching after a few seasons because it seemed like that story was done.
Yeah.
And it just kept dragging it along. It was just
Everyone should watch season 4 of Dexter. It was incredible. I don't know about the rest of it.
Which one was 4?
When John Lithgow was in it. Trinity.
Oh, yeah. And he with the bathtub and the death thing.
Yeah. The bathtub thing.
Did that make any sense? Because that's like the only thing that pops into my mind.
No, you were totally right. I was just trying to think if that was like a terrible spoiler, and it's not. So
it's super vague. I just said the bathtub thing. But yeah, no, that was a really good season. That was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that was the height of Dexter. I think you could probably watch it without having seen the rest of the series too, if you just get the gist of like Dexter is a serial killer that works in the Miami PD as like a CSI, basically.
Blood spatter analyst. Yeah, I think I stopped watching after that season because I feel like it peaked.
It definitely did. It definitely did. That was it right there. What else I got? I know I mentioned it, I think, talking to you, but I did not mention, or did I mention, Dollhouse. I loved.
We did talk about Dollhouse.
Okay. Some of these shows are really cool because I just feel like they're paving the way for new things too. Like some of them took risks, even in the last few years, that are just opening up to like normalize some of the things that I've really come to love, which is cool.
Oh no, I definitely agree with you. It's like a show sometimes needs to like jump the shark so that other shows can like start there and it not be that weird. But I feel like some shows do that and then it makes it okay for other shows to start where they like went completely bonkers because it's been done already.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The other shows that I am watching or have watched, I like the CW doesn't really churn out, you know, necessarily the best TV.
Right.
But I watch a lot of it. So I watched the first few seasons of Arrow and really enjoyed those purely because of Sarah Lance and priorities. And then she's on Legends of Tomorrow and it's just like a fucking amazing show that maybe not a lot of people agree with me, but I think it's a fucking amazing show. That's another get through the first season and everything gets infinitely better.
Yeah. I haven't watched that.
I watched Supergirl, which is one of those cases where the first season is really, really amazing. And then it kind of just tapers off into I don't know what the fuck I'm watching anymore.
How much more do you think it's going to take you to bail on that one?
I'm not sure because there are some characters that I'm really like here for. They forgot like that Kara Danvers is Supergirl and that, you know, she's like they just forgot who she was and she's been acting like a piece of shit for the past season. But the other characters that are like supporting characters have kind of been elevated by the fact that the main character has just kind of sucked. So I don't know what it'll take for me to quit, but we're teetering with the line.
Yeah, I feel that. I just thought of something. Oh, you know what I watched recently was Mary Kills People. It was really good.
I have not seen that. I've heard good things.
Yeah, it's about a doctor who does like euthanasia on the side because it's obviously illegal. And it's kind of part of it is like the underlying question or like the philosophical question is like, is it okay, you know, to assist someone in ending their life if they, and she does it for people with terminal illnesses. And so the question obviously is whether it's legal or not, is that something that is okay? But of course, in the midst of it all, she is an awful person as well. So it's kind of like, is that really the debate you're trying to have with yourself? Or are you just kind of the worst?
That sounds like something I'd enjoy.
Oh, it's fantastic.
You just made me think of, I don't know how this didn't make my list because I like, so good. Killing Eve. Have you seen that?
I haven't because I don't have BBC anymore.
It is so, so, so good. I think I might have actually bought it on Amazon Video because I wanted to rewatch it so much. It's so good. I don't even know what to say about it, just that it's so good. Also, Into the Badlands is, I think, a pretty enjoyable show. It's really gory, but in, I don't know if this is how I want to describe it, but in like a classy way or like okay. An artistic way.
That's fine.
It's like, remember the movie Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon when that came out?
And I was never saw it.
Well, it's like that, like kind of like slow motion, like type fighting style with like really intricate. Into the Badlands is all that. And it's like also a bit of like, it's kind of like a weird dystopian type future that is super patriarchal. And like over the course of like the seasons, it's switching into more matriarchal, but it's like the dynamics of it are so interesting. And I don't know. It's a good story. The visual effects are super cool. And you get to see a lot of people like sword fighting.
Okay, cool. I am, that reminded me too of when Mary kills people. The main character of that is also in Hannibal, which is an incredible show that went on for 3 seasons on NBC. And the most surprising thing about the show is that they allowed it to be aired on NBC.
Really?
Oh yeah. Oh my God. It's so, when you mentioned it, like the character spawned my memory, but also when you mentioned like the gore, how did you say it? More fancy or?
It's like artistic, classy gore, not like Saw gore.
The cinematography in Hannibal is absolutely incredible. And obviously, I mean, I think most people know what that story is, but it's kind of the prequel to any of the ones that have been done, really, besides the one where he was like a young man. He is a psychiatrist who starts consulting for the FBI. And he's, of course, also a serial killer who...
Sounds like a more interesting version of Dexter on premise.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, Hannibal is like a bajillion times better than Dexter. And it's of course linked to the Silence of the Lambs and that whole series, a Red Dragon. This story in over the 3 seasons goes all the way up to Red Dragon. And Mads Mikkelsen is incredible. Like, I don't, did you ever see Silence of the Lambs?
Yes.
Okay. So obviously Anthony Hopkins is like hailed for playing the character of Hannibal Lecter. And I would be ready to argue with anybody over the fact that Mads Mikkelsen, while bringing something like completely different to the character, actually like outdid him.
Yeah, no, I've really enjoyed the movie Silence of the Lambs. I've never checked out Hannibal, but again, on my list of things that in the next, you know, 20 years I'll get to eventually, probably, maybe.
I think it's on Prime and it's only 39 episodes.
Oh, that's not a lot.
No. And they tell like a really incredible story in that time frame too.
I like how when we're like talking about TV and we're like, oh, it's only 100 episodes. And she's like, oh, okay. Yeah, no big deal. And I feel like most people would think that's like 39 episodes. That's a lot. I'm like, oh, that's like a weekend. Like,
I know, for real. Yeah. You can easily watch that in like 3 days. Like even if you're not pushing it.
It's been under 2 weeks and I've completely almost caught up on Campaign to a Critical Role and each episode is 4 hours long.
Yeah, that's insane. My friend Meg keeps trying to get me to watch that. I know I need to put that higher up on my list too. I actually just started watching Nikita.
I've seen a few episodes of that. It was entertaining.
Yeah, it's interesting. It has an interesting premise. It's one of those kinds of things though. Same idea of like, okay, she was trained to be a spy or, you know, whatever, contract killer. And she broke out from that organization because she, you know, has a conscience, maybe. And her whole goal is to like try to bring them down. So it's a kind of another one of those things of like, okay, but there's four seasons of this. So if you guys don't change something, if you don't open up a premise, if you don't build your mythology, like I'm not sure I'm going to be able to watch this whole thing.
Yeah. There was, back to Critical Role, they had a storyline in this campaign that was basically exactly that. And it took them like three episodes to conclude. And I was like, that was good. Now let's never talk about it again. like you don't need to like, just like keep beating a plot. But yeah, I could see how, like, you can't base a show off of that. You can't base a show off of a foregone conclusion.
Right. Exactly. Because the minute that the goal is met, the story is over. And so you know that it's going to fail over and over and over and over. And it's just like, okay, you have to give me something else to buy into along the way or else I'm not, like, I'm just not going to be invested.
Yep.
Okay, then I just have my random, like, comedy shows that when I get super depressed, which is way too often, will just play in the background of my life. And I'm just going to list them just so people know what kind of garbage that I love. Oh, also Wynonna Earp. We watch Wynonna Earp.
Yes, we do.
That's a thing that happens.
Yes, we do.
But my other shows are 30 Rock, Bob's Burgers. Bob's Burgers is probably like one of my favorite shows ever. And I don't even know why, but I like laugh so hard at every episode. Community, I absolutely loved. Parks and Rec is definitely in my top. And Schitt's Creek over the past few years has been quite excellent.
One area where you and I differ. I don't, as a general rule, watch any sort of comedy stuffs. Like I'm looking at my list. I don't watch any of the shows that you just mentioned. When I'm feeling depressed,
shame.
I will rewatch shows that I really like, even if the premise of them is extremely depressing. I'm like sitting here. Oh, I didn't mention Jessica Jones. It's another one of my shows. I rewatched season one. Like when I'm in like a mood, I'll just turn on season one of Jessica Jones, and that show's fucking dark.
It really is. I definitely watched the first season. I thought it was really interesting. I also thought it was just kind of over in a way.
Season two wasn't great.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of Kristen Ritter. Like, I think that show is already super dark and you maybe need someone who can, like, emote a little better than she does. Because a lot of times there's not a ton of dialogue from a character like that. So, I don't know. That I definitely watched. I liked the first season overall. But that was not a show that just like drew me in or was like, I have to finish this. It was more like everybody's watching this, so I need to be informed.
So like basically like my deal with TV is that I like to project a lot onto characters. And so like my like all time favorite shows, we got like Person of Interest, Root, The Hundy, Clark Griffin, Legend of Tomorrow, Sarah Lance. What else do I have on here? Orphan Black. Sarah Manning, like,
yes,
Jessica Jones, like, I have a brand, it is strong, and I like to stick to my brand.
No, these are great people. I think we did, like, our top five female characters over the last year at some point, and they were, like, the same. A couple of the order was different, but they were same. Yours might have changed right now. Mine has changed a little bit, but I know that we shared Root, Sarah Manning, and Clark Griffin in common. Clark Griffin, who is breaking my freaking heart right now, and I cannot talk about it. But my other ones, my main one now that I swear is like maybe overtaken everybody is Jennifer Goines from 12 Monkeys.
Is she the crazy one?
Yes.
Oh yeah, she was the best part of what I had watched.
Of season one, yeah. Well, she becomes a much, much more integral character as the show progresses. And of course, is not just, like, Looney Tunes. She's incredible. So she's, like, way, way up on my list now. I don't want to have to rank them right now because I'm just sad.
I couldn't rank them. Right? Okay, Root. But, like, well, no, it'd be Root and then Clark Griffin. Nope, just kidding. I don't think my rankings have changed at all.
Well, but you didn't have Sarah Lance on your list of five.
I don't even know. I know the top three are the exact same. I don't know who else was on the list. I thought we did top three.
Okay, here was our list of five in whatever order. Clark, Root, Sarah Manning, Winona from Winona Earp, that's title character, and Faith from Buffy.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. When did we make this list? It was a while ago.
It was like, I don't know, more than 6 months ago, for sure.
Yeah, Legend of Tomorrow kind of, like, Sarah's always been one of my top characters, because the girl's been through some shit.
Yeah.
But the show realized that nobody was actually watching for what they initially intended it for. Everyone just was watching for Sarah Lance. And so they finally realized that they should just make it the Sarah Lance show. And so now she's the captain. And then they got rid of a lot of the boring guys and, like, have made a really diverse cast that's constantly changing. And, like, letting that character step into a role that, like, makes, like, perfect sense for her. It just elevated the character for me a ton. Like, I've always liked her, but now that she is the leader of the show and, like, they're really leaning into it, it's just, like, made it infinitely better.
Yeah, Jennifer Goins definitely jumped up on my list. And then for whatever reason we were making that list, the person I had forgotten was April Ludgate from Parks and Rec, which you do not watch.
I cannot watch shows like Parks and Rec. Like, it's, like, cringy to me, and it makes me uncomfortable to watch.
It's fine. Nobody's holding it against you.
I always feel so bad because everybody loves those things. And then, like, turn it on and I'm just like, I don't like this at all.
Hey, I got you fucking giggling at Bob's Burgers.
Okay, that's fair. It was entertaining. But I would, like, never watch it on my own.
Yeah, but you should because it's so good.
That's, like, how I watched, like, two seasons of Portlandia, like, with someone. And then, like, we broke up and then I never watched it again and I have no interest in it at all.
That's okay. That's okay.
We've hit the end of my list.
I was going to say, I'm pretty... the only thing I had else that I got excited about when they released it on streaming was Golden Girls.
I mean...
it's classic.
Who doesn't love the Golden Girls?
I can't even imagine who wouldn't love them. Freaking Betty White, man. She's not even my favorite one, I don't think, on that show. But she's just awesome in general.
National Treasure.
The show?
No, Betty White is a national treasure.
Oh, I was like, I didn't even know that was a show.
No, that's a shitty Nicolas Cage movie.
Okay, I mean, I got, like, really cute. That's what I was thinking. Like, immediately I'm thinking, like, Nicolas Cage, and I'm like, Michelle watching, not only watching, but liking a Nicolas Cage movie. I'm so lost right now. Yeah, I mean, you have no idea what went through my head in those, like, 3 seconds.
We can have an entire episode shitting on Nicolas Cage movies.
Oh, man.
Anyway, yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so let's wrap this up. We don't really know what's coming up next, but it's going to be something about TV. Something we are watching, something we want to watch, something you should watch, questions we get, something.
We pretty much did this intro episode so that if you don't already know us, you can kind of get an idea of what our deal is, which is rambling and whatever shows we mentioned.
True story.
So feel like that, or don't find us, like, the most annoying thing ever. Maybe check out the next episode whenever that happens.
All I can think is, like, if the way you describe this and us was not repulsive, you should come back. Like,
that is what I was thinking, because I'm not good at words.
All right, well, join us next time as we just ramble at each other from Atlanta and Iowa about television while wearing hats.
The premise for this is hilarious.
Thanks for listening, you guys. You can find us on the interwebs. Our email address is snapbackpod@gmail.com. Send us questions, show recommendations, episodes you like. We're going to be doing a bunch of different things. So just interact with us and we'll be happy to interact back like the non-social anxiety people that we definitely are.
You can also reach us on Twitter at snapbackpod.
Yeah, and you can find me, BP, at beepsplain on Twitter.
And me, Michelle, at micnic1291.
Awesome. And we're also up on iTunes, which you can rate, review, and subscribe on there. And we'd appreciate that. Google Play will be on, and then YouTube and Stitcher are forthcoming. Thanks a lot, guys. God, that sounded so fake. Okay, whatever.
That'll be fine. I just created the Twitter. We have it. It's fine.
Okay, perfect. We have a Twitter. It's fine.
That's probably one of the important things, right? Having a Twitter?